The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Woman's Day, Real Simple, Martha Stewart Living, Good Housekeeping, and Better Homes and Gardens. Let's begin with this one from Woman's Day. Give your best bud the royal treatment on October 22nd, Make a Dog's Day. Make a Dog's Day. With tips from Colleen Demling Riley, certified dog trainer and founder of Pawtopia Dog Training. Number one, put your phone away. Just like us, dogs know when someone isn't fully engaged. Offer 100% of your attention on a walk or during a play session, and you'll see your pup light up. Praise them when they make eye contact, and cheer and clap when they chase the ball. 2. Go on a sniff walk. Dogs have powerful noses and explore their worlds through scent. Take yours on a walk and don't be in a hurry. Let them pick the path. Guide the direction you travel as they follow their nose and spend as much time as they want sniffing things. And last, give them a massage. For people, massages can reduce stress and alleviate muscle soreness. Dogs can get similar benefits. Focus on rubbing the parts of your pup that they can't easily access themselves. Gently massage their neck, hips, shoulders, and ears. From Martha Stewart Living, on our bookshelf. For these reads are all about family, feeding your crew, paying tribute to generations past, and creating a welcoming home. And there's four options here. First, Jenny Rosenstock is the author. I'm going to spell that Rosenstrach, and the book The Weekday Vegetarians. It's full of easy, legit, exciting, meat-free ideas, including squash and black bean, kale and mushroom, and Migros breakfast-style tacos. Next one, writer Julie Klam, K-L-A-M, grew up with stories of four chain-smoking cousins of her grandmother with ties to J.P. Morgan, Broadway, and secret millions. The almost legendary Morris Sisters is the name of the book. It's her quest to discover the truth behind the lore. Next one, Workstead, the Brooklyn design firm known for achieving a balance between function and fabulous, shares images of 10 reinvented private residences from New York City's Tribeca to Charleston, South Carolina in Workstead, that's Workstead, Interiors of Beauty and Necessity. And last one, the book Burnt Toast and Other Disasters. Chef and best-selling cookbook author Cal Peternell, P-E-T-E-R-N-E-L-L, demonstrates how to turn kitchen tragedies into culinary triumphs. For example, magicking charred slices into cheesy onion bread pudding. How about that? From Woman's Day, the editor's note, making all the mistakes. October is my birthday month, and I could profess my love for pumpkins, all things orange, and Halloween for days. But instead, I want to share a step-by-step process that's been helping me lately when I screw up, which is a lot. Step one, fail hard. You're human. Yay. Everyone makes mistakes, and it's going to be okay. Sit with it for a minute, but just a minute. Step two, figure it out. Ask yourself what happened and answer in as non-emotional, non-judgmental a way as possible. This one thing is not a referendum on who you are or what you're capable of in the future. Then use the info to make your next step. Step three, fix it. Take action. Is there something you can do to correct the situation, lessen the fallout, or be sure you don't make the same error again? If so, do it ASAP. If you're not sure, ask for help. And if there's nothing you can do, look for the positives. That won't change the situation, but it may crowd out discouragement, shame, or other negative feelings and help you move on. Step four, flashback. Build yourself back up by revisiting your greatest hits, all those things you have done and still do right. Think back to where and when you've succeeded in the past and consider how your behavior and choices got you there. Give yourself credit for your effort. And step 5, forget it. You've done what you can. Now remember the lesson and go carve a pumpkin. And that was Megan Murphy, the editor at Women's Day. From Real Simple, The Helpful Mind, Amateur Hour. When was the last time you learned a new skill? Discover the brain-boosting benefits and sheer thrill of being a beginner again. Somewhere a few years back, in the frantic rush of escorting my daughter to a seemingly endless round of classes, piano, rock climbing, swimming, taekwondo, I realized I couldn't remember the last time I'd learned to do something new myself. There I was, touting to her the benefits of trying a broad range of activities, no matter whether she stuck with them or got any good, when Mr. Role Model himself was lodged in a rut of mid-career competence, content to sit on the sidelines scrolling through his Instagram feed. So I went on a learning binge, attacking a list of pursuits from singing to surfing that I'd long harbored a secret desire to do. Mastery was never my aim. I simply wanted to try. I croaked out ungodly sounds that surely left my vocal teachers glad I had a day job. I nearly got a spontaneous spinal realignment when I was dumped headfirst onto the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. I drew self-portraits that had my patient wife asking, "Is that Beavis or Butthead?" It felt exhilarating, this rush of what Buddhists call shōjin, or beginner's mind, a chance to view the world and myself with fresh eyes. In a results-oriented society, it's not easy to be an adult novice, to leave behind your hard-earned competence and expertise for a world of uncertainty and mistakes. But the benefits of learning new skills are immense. For one, you get a cognitive workout that can literally reshape your brain. After people spent 6 weeks practicing juggling, researchers found structural changes in their white matter, the nerve fibers that connect different parts of the brain. It is possible for the brain to condition its own wiring system to operate more efficiently, the lead researcher explained. You also get the feel-good charge of a quick climb up the learning curve, even if you never become great. Working through mistakes and exposing yourself to the discomfort of the unknown builds resilience that you can draw on at work and elsewhere. You may even overcome what psychologist Daniel Gilbert calls the end of history illusion, the mistaken belief that we're incapable of much change despite all the big changes we've gone through in the past. Learning new skills can alter our definition of who we are. Here are a few ways to master beginner's mind. Learn like a child. One reason children are such adept learners is that their brains are optimized for it. But we shouldn't forget how they learn. Most young kids thrive in low-pressure environments without strict goals or expectations. They're unafraid of making mistakes, encouraged by positive feedback, and buoyed by a strong motivation to gain life skills. For children who are learning to talk, the goal is to communicate. They simply start making sounds instead of fretting about grammatical mistakes. Rachel Wu, Ph.D., Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of California, Riverside, told me that when she was learning German, she tried childlike babbling as a way to improve her accent. Don't worry about perfection. Just indulge in playful experimentation. Push through plateaus. Early on, novices feel a beginner's high. When you start from zero, progress often seems to come fast. After your first few hours at a ski lodge, you've probably managed some forays down the bunny hill. But on the real slopes, a new set of challenges loom. With skilled learning, progress is not always linear. In another study on novice jugglers, some days the participants could arc the balls through the air many times in a row. The next day, they'd struggle to do it at all. When you feel stuck, switch up what you're doing. Move to a new location, change your speed, or use different tools. Teach what you've learned to someone else. Or just go take a nap. Your brain can keep working on the problem, even if you're not consciously aware of it. practice with a buddy. Learning with others seems to hit some sweet spot in the brain, in part because we learn from and even teach the people around us. When a group of older people in a Texas study took classes in subjects like digital photography, they performed better on a set of cognitive tests than a group that had met simply to socialize. If you have kids, try learning together. As they watch you struggle with something new, they may become more resilient themselves. And when couples engage in novel activities like learning a new skill, a study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found relationship satisfaction increases. Taking up ballroom dancing, for instance, can reignite the excitement and sense of possibility from the early days of a relationship. And last, don't get hung up on finding your passion. When we believe a skill is inherent, that it's been there all along, waiting to be discovered, we're quicker to walk away once practicing it gets challenging, because we think it should come naturally, according to research by Stanford University psychology professor Carol Dweck, Ph.D., and colleagues. Those who believe talents need to be developed tend to persevere longer. Rather than finding your passion, you may have to work hard to see your interests blossom. Similarly, don't set overly ambitious goals. Failing to meet them may weaken your motivation as well as your belief in yourself. Instead of fixating on how good you are, focus on how much improvement you've made. And remember that performing isn't the same as learning. If it feels easy, you might not be learning as much. From Woman's Day, reduce your breast cancer risk. Follow leading experts' advice to help make sure you're not among the 1 in 8 women in the U.S. who will develop breast cancer in her lifetime. First, know your breasts. Getting regular mammograms can reveal worrisome changes that could signal cancer. But there are red flags you can keep an eye out for between scans, says Susan Brown, RN, Senior Director of Health Information and Publications for Susan G. Komen. Besides a lump, signs of cancer can include thickening, swelling, or darkening of the breast, itchiness, rash, or a scaly sore around the nipple, puckering of the skin, inverting of the nipple, or other changes in breast size or shape, and nipple discharge or breast pain. Learn your family history. Though about 85% of women who get breast cancer have no close relative who had it, if you do have it in your lineage, your risk is higher. It may be nearly doubled if you have a first-degree relative who had the disease. And up to 10% of breast cancers are the result of rare inherited mutations such as the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which increase risk by as much as 70% before age 70. Eat well. Load your plate with plenty of fruits and vegetables. Minimize red meat consumption. Study results are mixed, but some show that it may be associated with a greater risk of developing breast cancer and other cancers. Eat more plant-based proteins like beans, lentils, nuts, and seeds, and enjoy fiber-filled whole grains, as fiber likely plays a role in reducing breast cancer risk, says Dawn Musselam, DO, a hematology and oncology breast health specialist and lifestyle medicine physician with the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. And limit alcohol, as the more you drink, the higher your risk, Dr. Musselam adds. Last, move more. Regular exercise helps you maintain a healthy weight, important because being overweight or obese after menopause puts you at increased risk for breast cancer. Excess weight often leads to higher blood insulin levels, and having more fat tissue can raise estrogen levels, both of which up your risk. From Real Simple, the essential knit dress. With this fall-ready frock, you can look polished and cozy, no matter Mother Nature's food. So you start with a dress. I'm going to describe it. It is a below-the-knee length dress with a collar and a V-neck and long sleeves, which have elastic knitted in at the cuff. And it's belted, this particular one. It is a burnt orange or a rust kind of a color, and they give you three different looks with it. First, it says add a clutch and fancy flats. Statement accessories like a chunky bracelet and sparkly bag give the easy-to-wear dress major date night vibes. Pink Mary Jane mules just add a pop of playful color. The second look, which looks a little outdoorsier for me, it says add fuzzy accessories. Beat the cold with an oversized wrap scarf, faux shearling purse, and fleece-lined platform clogs that feel just as comfy as they look. The third option, add a coat and loafers. Layer a turtleneck under the dress for extra warmth. Toss on patent leather fur faux bomber and loafers, and voila, a look that works for outdoor events. From Better Homes and Gardens, a trip to the orchard. Yes, it is that time of year. For many of us, the season isn't complete without a day at the apple orchard. Follow our lead to pick, process, and enjoy the freshest haul of the fall. Apple varieties. There's lots of subheadings here. All apples are worthy of our seasonal adoration, but the flavors and textures of various types make them best suited for particular uses. For snacking, known for their crisp texture and juiciness, Fuji, Braeburn, Jazz, Honeycrisp, Cameo, and Cosmic Crisp. For baking, firm, tart varieties keep their texture and flavor. Granny Smith, Rome, Jonathan, Northern Spy, and Wine Sap. For making applesauce, sweet flavors, soft textures. Gala, McIntosh, Golden Delicious, Red Delicious, and Lodi. And for stockpiling, thick skins and firm flesh. York, Northern Spy, Fuji, Braeburn, Wine Sap, Cortland, and Granny Smith. Here's some apple math. Half a bushel equals 24 pounds, or approximately 60 apples. A peck is a quarter of a bushel, 12 pounds, 30-ish apples. 1 pound is approximately 3 cups cored sliced apples. Tips for picking. Many orchards have calendars to keep you posted on the varieties they grow and what's hot for the taking on any given week. Apples ripen from the outer branches on the tree toward the trunk. The best pickers know to pluck an apple, grip it delicately with your whole hand, and twist the apple upward to pull it off the branch. Place the apple gently into your container instead of just dropping it to prevent bruising. Leave behind apples with bruises, blemishes, or outward signs of decay. Avoid apples that are already on the ground. And a storage note, apples like cooler temperatures. Store them between 32 and 40 degrees in your fridge or an unfinished basement for up to 2 months. Wrap apples loosely in paper or plastic, not resealable bags, for air circulation. And a bushel bounty. If you take home a half bushel from the orchard, you'll have enough for 8 apple pies, 8 to 10 quarts of applesauce, or 3 to 4 quarts of apple butter. And let's see. Here's apple cider ideas. If you're tapped out on sipping straight cider from the orchard, try these apple cider fix-ups to finish off the gallon. Cider syrup. Bring 4 cups apple cider to boiling in a 6-quart pot. Reduce heat to medium. Boil gently, uncovered, stirring occasionally about 35 minutes or until thick, syrupy, and reduced to about a half cup. The mixture will thicken as it cools. Serve over ice cream, apple crisp, or waffles, or use as a fruit dip. Or honeyed hot cider Sauvignon. Using kitchen string and a double thick square of 100% cotton cheesecloth, tie 2 3-inch cinnamon sticks, 4 whole cloves, and a 4 whole allspice into a spice sachet. In a 4-quart Dutch oven, bring 4 cups apple cider, 1/4 cup lemon juice, 1/2 cup honey, and 1 750 milliliter bottle, that's the regular size bottle, of Sauvignon Blanc wine or other dry white wine, and the sachet to a simmer. Do not boil. Reduce heat and simmer uncovered 20 minutes. Remove sachet. If you like, add a brandy splash to each serving. And this serves 10. From Good Housekeeping, in season, butternut squash. Sweet, earthy, and slightly nutty, this fall favorite, packed with immune-supporting vitamin A, shines in a range of recipes. Here are our Test Kitchen's top ways to enjoy it. Butternut with spiced almonds. On a large rimmed baking sheet, toss one medium squash cut into 1-inch pieces, 2 tablespoons olive oil, and a half teaspoon each salt and pepper. Roast at 425 degrees for 20 minutes. Toss 1/4 cup sliced almonds with 1 teaspoon oil, 1/4 teaspoon cinnamon, and a pinch of cayenne. Scatter over the squash. Roast until squash is tender, 5 minutes. Scatter 4 cups baby spinach over all. Let sit 1 minute, then fold together. Veggie-topped ravioli. Heat 2 tablespoons oil in a large non-stick skillet on medium. Add 1/2 medium squash cut into 1/4-inch pieces. Season with salt and pepper. And cook covered, stirring occasionally, 8 minutes. Add 2 cloves garlic, thinly sliced, and 1 tablespoon small thyme sprigs. Sauté until they're beginning to brown, 3 minutes. Serve over cheese ravioli and sprinkle with Parmesan. Crispy sage squash. Heat 1/3 cup of oil on medium. Add 1/3 cup of sage leaves and cook, stirring until bubbling stops and sage is crisp, 1 minute. Transfer to a paper towel. Halve 2 small squash lengthwise. Discard seeds and score neck in a crisscross pattern. Then place on foil-lined baking sheet. Brush with 2 tablespoons sage oil. Roast cut sides down, 35 minutes. Flip and roast until skin is crisp, 50 minutes. Top with crispy sage leaves. From Good Housekeeping, zucchini bread. Active time is 20 minutes, total time 1 hour, and 10 plus cooling. We need 3/4 cup of olive oil or canola oil, plus more for the pan. 1 3/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon freshly grated nutmeg, 2 large eggs, 1/2 cup packed light brown sugar, 1/4 cup granulated sugar, 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, 1/2 pound small zucchini, or about 2, 1 cup of walnuts, roughly chopped. Heat oven to 350, lightly oil an 8.5 by 4.5 inch loaf pan, line with parchment paper, leaving the overhang on 2 long sides. Lightly oil the paper. In a medium bowl, whisk together flour, cinnamon, baking soda, baking powder, salt, and nutmeg. In a large bowl, beat the eggs, add sugars and oil, beat until combined, then mix in vanilla. Add dry ingredients, mixing just till incorporated. Grate the zucchini on large holes of a box grater and fold into the batter along with 1/2 cup of walnuts. Transfer to prepared pan and sprinkle with remaining 1/2 cup walnuts. Bake until wooden pick inserted into the center comes out clean, 65 to 75 minutes. Let cool in pan 15 minutes, then use the overhangs to transfer to wire rack to cool completely. And this says it serves 16. We'll stay with zucchini here. It's also still Good Housekeeping. Fresh zucchini salad. In a bowl, mix 1 teaspoon grated lemon zest plus 1 tablespoon lemon juice with 1.5 tablespoons whole grain mustard and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Whisk in 1/4 cup of olive oil, Then stir in 1/4 cup capers and 1 small shallot, finely chopped. Very thinly slice 4 small zucchini. Toss with the dressing. Fold in 1 cup flat leaf parsley and 1/2 cup mint, both chopped. And grilled citrus zucchini. In a bowl, mix 1 teaspoon grated lime zest plus 2 tablespoons lime juice, 1 clove garlic grated, 1 tablespoon reduced sodium soy sauce, and 1/2 red chili thinly sliced. Brush 4 small zucchini, halved lengthwise, with 1 tablespoon olive oil, and season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Grill on medium high until just tender, 3 minutes per side. Chop, toss with sauce, then fold in 2 cups fresh basil, torn. And some cheesy zucchini chips. In a bowl, toss 4 small zucchini, thinly sliced, with 2 tablespoons olive oil, and 1/2 teaspoon each red pepper flakes and salt. Then toss with 1/4 cup grated parmesan, 2 cloves garlic finely chopped, and 1/4 cup panko. Spread on 2 rimmed baking sheets and roast at 425 until zucchini is golden brown and just tender, 12 minutes. And an after-school special. Give your crew a little pizza your heart, and their new favorite snack. Take our take on the bagel-based classic starts with an English muffin instead, or, there we go, split muffins in half and place cut sides up on a parchment-lined baking sheet. Brush generously with softened unsalted butter or oil. Bake at 400 degrees until lightly toasted, about 10 minutes. Then layer on marinara, we like rolls or ragu, and halved mozzarella balls or slices. Bake until melted, 6 to 8 minutes. Sprinkle on some sea salt and dried oregano. Scatter a few basil leaves and you're set to handle their hunger and yours till the homework's done. And head to Cali, that's California, to bring back the top draw from everyone's beloved high school haunt, California Pizza Kitchen. Swap in barbecue sauce for the marinara and cheddar for the mozzarella, and top them with shredded rotisserie chicken and thinly sliced red onion. Garnish with chopped fresh cilantro. From Real Simple, a money-saving fridge trick. Raise your hand if you've unearthed forgotten leftovers like last month's or last year's moldy lasagna from the back of the fridge. It's estimated an American family of 4 jettisons $1,800 worth of food annually. One way to actually eat all the good stuff is to change how you store things, says Joe Yonan, food and dining editor at the Washington Post and author of Cool Beans. I'll spell his last name, Yonan. I put all our leftovers in glass jars or containers. I'm trying to avoid buying any new plastic, and glass is so easy to clean, he says. At a quick glance, we know what's inside, which means we'll be more likely to use it. Money saved and less food wasted, win and win. Obviously, we're out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and available as a podcast on our website. For questions, 919-832-4138. Bye now.